Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise, make some noise, make some noise. Come on, make some noise out there. Here we go. I was here.
Welcome to Word Outreach International with your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, bringing practical teaching, spiritual insight, and prophetic utterances from the Word of God. So call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Word Outreach International. May God continue to richly bless you.
Praise the Lord. One more time. Amen. We're back again with Blog Talk Radio and your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson. I want to say a good shout out to everybody this morning that has been in the archives listening and those who listen live at times, that I'm very appreciative. And I pray that the things that the Lord is using to share through me has been a great blessing to you. It is my desire that as you listen to the Word of God, as we minister the Word of God, that you are richly enlightened, revelation knowledge has come to you, some of the things that you've been dealing with in life or life's questions have been answered, and more importantly, your life is put on the right course. Amen. Before we get started this morning, let's pray. Father, we thank you for another day of your word. We thank you for being able to commune with you. We thank you that your word is still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and that you change not. And whatever things that you've done in this earth also are being done in and through us as your word has instructed and declared to us. We thank you that we are your instruments and that the word that we use today will be able to turn the lives around of those who are going in the wrong direction and those who are in the right direction, give them insight and courage. Let it fall on good ground, the word, that it will produce fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold, and we declare this today. And let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, because you are our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, we've been asking the question that we've been talking about for a new segment, is healing for today. And more importantly, I've been really laboring with the passage of scripture from chapter 5 of St. John, of John's gospel, as he begins to talk to the religionists of that day. And the Bible declares to us in that particular passage of scripture that there was a man who was lame or impotent and who had been in that condition or infirmity for 38 years. 38 years. Now, that's a long time. Well, let's do some recap. And let's first of all say that I believe with all my heart that healing is for today and that healing has not changed. Biblically speaking, it is one of the very important areas of life that Jesus himself, our Messiah, our salvation, died upon the cross for. Now, in the book of Isaiah, if you'll turn that with me briefly, in chapter 53 of the book of Isaiah, we read a very important and I think sometimes misunderstood passage of scripture that most of us, for some reason or one or another, has not really looked at for what it's worth. And in Isaiah chapter 53, the prophet is now, he's really talking about the coming of Christ, and also the reason why Jesus would come. Let's start at the first verse. He says unto them in chapter 53 of Isaiah, verse 1, King James Version, I'm reading out of, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground, and hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Watch this. He is despised. Watch now. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, verse 4 is really going to carry us into what I really want to talk about. But I want to read that particular, those first three verses, so that you can get an understanding of some of the things that we're going to share in light of this next verse, 4 and 5. The scripture tells us, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, in this particular passage of Scripture, Jesus is now making, the prophet Isaiah is making a prophetic utterance about the Lord Jesus Christ and who and what he is to become in the earth. And here he gives a prophetic utterance that first he will come and he will be as a tender plant growing in a dry place, which is very important to us today, because at the end of time, we're going to understand more and more the revelation of who God is, why he came, and because we don't understand everything. The Bible says we see through a glass darkly, and we get one part in bits of revelation and instruction. We know that one of the real reasons why he came was to redeem man from sin. That was his major objective. As a matter of fact, he told the Hebrews in the days of him, while he was walking in the earth, he said, I didn't come to basically be served, I came to serve, I came to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So that was his main objective. Now, and it was to declare you and me as being delivered from sin and the clutches of it, of the slave market, as we were as on the pole of the slave market while we were being tossed to and fro by the enemy. So watch this. Now he's now being declared by the prophet Isaiah, who asks, who shall believe our report, and who shall the arm of the Lord be revealed? He goes on to say now, but he was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities, and our chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, let's just break this down. First of all, he begins by saying in the fourth verse of this 53rd chapter, he has borne our griefs. In other words, everything that you and I would deal with emotionally, anything that we would deal with in the emotional realm, would be considered Jesus bearing them in his body on, or doing us, we would say, on the cross, bearing them. He survives, that he has borne our griefs. In other words, in the day that he would be crucified, those things that he would talk to consult the Father about in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Lord, let this cup pass. And let me just make this plain. Now, it's important that we understand that everything that he was dealing with in the garden was being thrown on him because of our sins. And that's why he was negotiating with the Lord, which there was really no negotiation. But on down in the passage, I can explain, and we'll explain that, why there was no negotiation. But anyway, the bottom line was that he had desired, also as he desired to die for the sins of the world, because he said it was given to him to come into this world to die. That was his main reasoning and purpose. He bore our griefs. He bore the griefs of our lives were put upon him, and he carried our sorrows. And everything that he did in the earth in his 33 years of life, 3 years and a half, 3.5 years of major ministry, he was carrying you, and he was carrying me. Now, there's no reason for you to be stuck in the spirit of grief. There's no reason for me to be stuck, for me as an individual, you to be stuck in the spirit of grief, because he bore our griefs. He understands, he understood how you and I would have emotional traumas in life. And there are so many people that are going through emotional situations. Now, look, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have emotional situations in life. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we should not be so stuck in that, or either we should not be so bound by it that we can't function in other areas of our lives. There are so many people that are depressed in this day and time, and there's so many sedatives and pills and so many things that are out that people are dealing with in the area of depression, or either, and then some are oppressed. There's just so many people in this life that we're dealing with. And he, because of him bearing our griefs, we don't have to bear our griefs to that extent. And the Word of God tells us in the book of Peter to cast our cares upon him, in 1 Peter 5, I believe, because he cares for us. So he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. We were sorrows. And we had sorrows, and there are sorrows in life. Believe me, many trials, many situations come up in life, and we have to deal with them on a consistent basis. Sorrows of life, the down disappointments and days of life. The Bible says he carried those sorrows with him. And then the word goes on to tell him he was smitten of God and afflicted. Now, why would it say he was smitten of God? Well, we'll discuss that in a minute. But, well, let's go on down to verse 10 of chapter 53, and then we'll understand why he was smitten of God. And we'll understand that it was not just God smiting him. But in verse 10 it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath, listen now, he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. The Bible says it pleased God to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to crucify him. It was God's pleasure to give his only begotten son on a rugged cross of wood in the days to come, for you and for me. And though it pleased God to bruise him, it was a sacrifice on the behalf of Jesus, our Lord, our Messiah, to die a horrendous and excruciating, horrendous death and excruciating pain. So therefore, he suffered and he died that type of death. And it pleased God. The scripture tells us right here in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 10 of 53, of chapter 53, that it pleased God to bruise. Now, sometimes I've heard people singing songs, he didn't have to come down from the cross to save himself. He didn't have to die, and people say that. But the bottom line is he had to die. He could not come down. He could not do any of those things that we say in our own carnal minds. The scripture declares that in order for sin to be remitted or to be relinquished out of the earth, there had to be a sacrifice. And the scripture says it pleased God to bruise him. Now, he was bruised. Let's go back up to verse 4 and verse 5. And verse 5 says, but he was wounded. That means that he was tormented for you and me, for our transgressions. That means our secret faults, our secret sins. And I want to establish this today. He was bruised also for our iniquities. Now, transgressions are secret sins, but there are bruises that come in life And those things are, when people badger us, the things that happen to us that leave scars, and they are bruises. And the Bible says that he was bruised for our iniquities. The transgressions of our life are the sins that are set before us. But there are some secret things on the inside of us that are called iniquities that nobody knows about, basically but us. And also maybe our closest friend. There are hidden things on the inside of us that we won't share with anybody. Somebody says, and one cliche, that people are crying silent tears. In other words, they're smiling on the outside, but they're torn and displeased on the inside. They are destroyed and being tormented on the inside, and those things are called iniquity, or iniquities, which are hidden scars and sins that have been created by secret faults and secret things that we hold on the inside that we will not release. So he was not only wounded for our transgressions or tormented for our transgressions, but he was bruised for our iniquity. He was bruised. Bruised, that means actually he was hurt. He was tortured for our iniquities. And it goes on to say that the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Here we go again. He was bruised for our iniquities, and he was also bruised, or either he was tormented again, or he was brought to scars and pain and whips upon his body and bled for our peace. Now, what is peace? Peace is, according to 3 John 2, it says, "Beloved, I pray above all things that thou would prosper," and that word prosper in that area means shalom, which means actually peace, "that thou would prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospered." That peace, that word he was talking about is actually broken down into these areas. It was nothing lacking, nothing broken, all things whole, and all things prosperous. Nothing lacking. In other words, everything in your life is complete. Nothing broken. There's no broken pieces in your life. All things are whole. Everything is all centered around in a perfect circle. That's the peace of God. All things whole, all things prosperous. It was in all things prosperous, all things whole, nothing lacking, and nothing broken. Listen, that's important for you and me. Nothing lacking, nothing broken, all things whole, and all things are prosperous. That word prosperous means that in every area of your life, you have been completed and you have been made whole. You are complete in peace. Every area of your life is satisfied. And that's why he says, "Beloved, I pray above all things that would prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." That means to you and me that God is, that your areas of life to prosper in are not just onefold, but they're threefold. Number one, he says, "I wish these above all things I would prosper." That means to be at peace and be in health. That means that God wants your body whole. He wants your body healed. He wants your body complete. He wants our bodies healthy. And he wants us to not just prosper in the peace of God, also in the physical realm of our body, but more or less, he wants us to also prosper in the physical realm of life. So these areas are what he wants us to prosper in. He wants us to prosper to have peace in what we do in life, our physical aspect of having a healthy body. And the last and the third thing is to have a prosperous life. These are the areas that he's talking about when he says that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And that's very important for you and me today, that the chastisement of our peace has been laid upon Jesus the Christ, and that he has endured the shame of these things and has now become our ransom, a rescue in the areas of sickness and disease. All right. Okay, now we have established that it pleased God to bruise him. Now, the important thing that I want to establish here is that in the fifth verse it says, in the latter part, "and with his stripes we are healed." That very important to you and to me, which says, and with his stripes you are healed. Now, it's very important that you and I have a real understanding that Jesus' main mission, one of his main missions in the earth, was to get you healed and me healed. And that was to come through his actual dying on the cross. And that means that he had to come in the form of a man, of course, and to die in that area as a man so that you and I could feel the effects or to understand the effects of his purpose in dying. So he died, but the Bible says he was first dealt with, he dealt with our griefs, he dealt with our sorrows, he dealt with us as a whole man, he dealt with us as a complete person. He didn't just deal with us in one area or facet of life. He wanted us to be healed in every area of our lives. Not just to have a physical healing because I had a pain in my left shoulder or my arm or right or leg. He wanted us to be healed in our emotions. And he wanted us to be healed in our minds. He wanted everything about us to be healed. He wanted us to be healed in the secret compartments of our lives, in the secret places of our lives. He wanted us to have an understanding that healing was not just one fold, but really it was in several areas of our, every area of our life, whether it came from the physical, whether it was in the emotional, or whether it was from our either heart or the physical aspects of how we lived. It was very important to him that we would live complete. Now, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter, who was a disciple, who was also an apostle, makes a proclamation that is similar to what the prophet Isaiah prophesied as he began to minister his word unto us. And we'll start at verse 22 of 1 Peter chapter 2. And it says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love, and that means pure love, for the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all as the flower of the field, the grass withers, the flower fades, therefore. Okay. All right. Let me see here. Is that the passage of Scripture that we want? 1 Peter 2. And I think I had the wrong. It might have been. Sorry about that. I think it's 2 Peter 2. And I do apologize. And right, we were talking about our healing, and he says, by whose stripes ye were healed. But anyway, so Peter finds it and pins it and says that by his stripes and with his stripes, by whom stripes ye were healed. Okay. So now we see that Peter is preaching the gospel to us out of his epistle and declaring what the prophet Isaiah shared. He's declaring what the prophet Isaiah shared in his passage. Okay. Let's go down to verse 22 here. 21 of that. And let me reread that. I had the wrong chapter, excuse me. I was reading out of chapter 1, not 2. But for even unto it, which was very good anyway. But here we go. Excuse me and I pardon for that. But I took it at a glance and I'm sorry. For even hereunto ye were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Verse 22 of that second chapter of 1 Peter. who did no sin, neither was God found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, talking about the Lord. Who in his own self bore, and here it is again, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Okay, now the apostle is sharing that not only were we healed by the prophet Isaiah says, by whom stripes ye are healed. In other words, he was speaking present tense. It doesn't mean past. He was saying it's not a promise. It's not something that we think, well, you know, God made me a promise he was going to heal me. No, he already declared. He made a declaration. It's not a promise. It's a declaration. He declared that you are not going to be healed. You are healed. Isaiah said, and with his stripes, we are healed. And Peter said, by whom stripes ye were healed. Were healed. Peter said, ye were healed. Ye were healed. That means that you and I have already been healed. Ye were, he said. Right. You, I, everyone, we were healed. That means we're not waiting on a promise. We're not waiting, sitting here thinking that God is going to, in the sweet by and by, in his own good time, he's going to deliver me and help me to be whole and help me to be healed. No, the scripture declares to us today that by his stripes we are healed. And in the book of Isaiah, 53, chapter, the third chapter and verse 5, and by whom stripes ye were healed, in 1 Peter 2, chapters, verse 24. Now, in that we've established that, the Bible says that he was put to death for us. Now, he was put to death on the premises of him dying on the cross, sold up, and sealed the declaration by whom stripes we were and are. But more in particular, Isaiah said we are healed, and Peter said we were healed. So therefore, in these two areas, let the truth be established. Today, you and I are healed. We don't have to wait any longer. We don't have to wonder, is it healing for today? The scripture declares to us that there was a declaration made by Christ in his body for your sin and mine. And that declaration is that by his stripes we are healed, and with his stripes we were healed. By whom stripes ye were healed, with his stripes we are healed. Amen. So now let's talk about the reasoning behind the healing. The Lord knew that you and I would not be able to function in this life with our bodies being out of whack. Without your health, without your body being intact, it's really difficult for you and me to live a prosperous life. And it takes away from the quality of life if you have any ailment in your body at all. Even while you're on your job, if there's any ailment in your body, in my body, it's hard for us to function as if there was nothing there. And so therefore, I wanted to instruct you today, Cheryl, and through instruction to share with you, that it's important that you and I live a healthy and a prosperous life. Now, God doesn't desire for us to be healed, but he also wants us to live in good health. And that's very important for you and me today, that we live in good health as well as being healed. But the platform that I want to establish today is that healing has been made available to you and to me. Now, I know that some people are saying, well, I'm waiting on God to heal me. Friend, sister, brother, you don't have to wait any longer. He's already done everything he's going to do concerning your healing, concerning my healing. And it's very important that you and I receive that today, because I know that there are many of you that are suffering with certain things and ailments that the doctor said that there's no cure for you. But I want you to know that he died for every disease in this earth. He died for every sickness that would ever occur in this earth. He died for everything and every infirmity that you and I would ever suffer in this earth. And therefore, it is already declarated. It is already signed. It's already sealed. Has been delivered to you and me, and all we have to do is receive the fact that we are now free from those things, and that now we can accept our deliverance. Our healing has come through the Messiah. And amen and hallelujah and glory to God to that in the highest. So therefore we're healed. With that in mind, let's go farther now. We're sharing from St. John chapter 5. When Jesus is confronted, he's confronting a guy who's been in an infirmity for 38 long years. And the reason why I chose this is I want to talk about certain areas of life that Jesus is ministering here. This man has been sick for 38 years, and you would think by now that he has given up on life. But no, he's continued to press. He's continued to push. He feels that somewhere in the reasoning of his life, in the reasoning of his mind, that he can be healed. And he knew that in that day, there was a certain area that if he had gone there, that there was a possibility, because of his infirmity, that he could receive a miracle, and that miracle would be to get into the pool where there was divine healing, hallelujah, taking place on every occasion that the angels would come down and trouble the water. Now let's go back and read that. As the Bible says, hallelujah, in verse 1 of chapter 5 of St. John, the Gospel of St. John. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, or either the gate. There's a, by the sheep market, a pool, and which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting. Now these people were with diseases that were incurable, waiting for the moving of the water. That means that they were waiting for the angel of the Lord, the spirit of the Lord to come and touch the water so that they could get in, those who were afflicted, those who were suffering disease, and be healed. Now, it says in verse 5, for an angel went down, as I just shared, at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now, it was kind of like playing a lottery. If you didn't get there first, you would not deliver. You were not healed. You were not made whole. So it was important for everybody that was sitting at the pool or at the gate of that place to be moved or to get themselves in the water so that they could be fully healed or delivered. Now watch this. Verse 5 says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. While I come, or while I'm coming, another step down before me. And Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And it, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, we talked a little bit about this last week, but I want to now talk about, in that we've established the fact that healing is for today. Let's talk about what this man was enduring at this particular time. This gentleman was enduring one of life's hardest tasks, and that was he had an infirmity for 38 years. Now, that's a long time to be sick, and that's a long time to carry around any type of weakness or illness. He was an impotent person. That means he was very weak, probably was a paraplegic, or somebody who is suffering from some type of disease or disorder in the body. This guy was in continuous pain throughout his life for 38 years. Now, I know that there have been people who have been in conditions. This man was an adult, and he had suffered mostly all of his life. He was not in any way experiencing life to its fullest. As a matter of fact, the quality of health, the quality of healing, the qualities of life were taken away from him. He was living impartial. He was living not a whole, complete life, but partially. And just think about it. For 38 years is a long time to live with a condition. It's a long time to live with a disease. It's a long time to live with an infirmity. And I would, you know, I'm pretty sure that things become habitual by that time. Things become habit-forming. And there were just certain things that he would do. There were certain things that he was accustomed to because of the way his life was geared around his sickness. And, you know, sometimes when we have those type of diseases in our bodies for a long length of time and period, we become more complacent about it. We tend to become more relaxed about it than we would just to say, I don't want this in my life. But this guy did not desire this infirmity in his life. As a matter of fact, he was waiting every year at that season when it came for the angel to trouble the water. He asked that somebody would take him there and get him there because he believed that if he would ever get into that water, that he would be made whole. And I know that some of you are thinking, if I can just get through this condition, if I can just make it out of this, I know that I believe in healing, and I believe that the Lord can heal me, and in some conditions, he said, but I just need this extra boost. I need somebody to help me to get over this, as we would call it, a cliche hump, or get moved from this place. Well, we don't know what the infirmity was. The Bible says he was impotent, which means he was weak. If we don't know what the infirmity was, we don't know what the sickness was, and we don't even know who the guy's name is. The Bible says it was a certain man. But the bottom line was is that Jesus went to him and made a proclamation to him concerning him and his healing. And this is what Jesus said. He says, and Jesus saw him being in this condition a long time, says, Wilt thou be made whole? In other words, it's not just about you getting into the water. It's not about the angel troubling the water in the pool. It's about will you. It's about your will. It's about your thinking. It's about the way you want to do things. Will you be made whole? It was not a condition on whether or not Jesus would heal them. It was not a condition on whether or not that his physician would heal them. Jesus said, Wilt thou be made whole? Well, where is will? Where is the will from? The will is one of the third compartments of the chambers of the soul. The soul is compacted of three areas. Three compartments that are living in the soul. Number one, the soul has an intellect. That's the soul of a man. The soul has the second compartment, which is emotion, the seat of our feeling. And the third part is our volition, the seat of our willing. In other words, there are three compartments. This is how a soul operates. A man can think, a man can say, his soul can say, have emotions, or can do. His will is bound up in his volition. His will is tied up in what he feels and what he thinks. If he feels like he can't make it, he won't. If he thinks he can't make it, he won't. If he thinks he can't get through it, he will not. If he feels like he can't get through it, he cannot. Why? Because he feels and thinks, and those two areas determine what you will. But if he thinks that he can get through, he will. And because he thinks that way, he feels the energy and the compulsion to move out to receive what is necessary in his will concerning the thing. So therefore, what you think is what you say, and what you say, and what you think and what you say is basically what you're going to do. But in this man's case, he felt like his deliverance was in the troubling of the water. But here he meets Jesus, and Jesus decides that and says, "Will thou be made whole?" In other words, what he was telling him is, you don't have to wait for the troubling of the water. It's according to your will whether or not you want to be made whole or not. Wow. It's not but that you're waiting in the hospital saying that you're waiting on God to heal you and that you're waiting on a promise that God made you to heal you. No, he's already done that. He's already healed you. We've just established that through the prophet Isaiah. We've established that through the apostle Peter. Isaiah says, and by his stripes ye were healed. And Peter says, with whom stripes ye were healed. Isaiah says, with by his stripes you are healed. And Peter says, with whom stripes ye were healed. In other words, you don't have to wait. It's not a waiting matter. It's been a promise made to you and a promise made to me that deliverance has taken place through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So therefore, now you don't have to wait 38 years. You don't have to wait a long period of time. You have been made whole. I have been made whole. And so Jesus confronts this guy here who's been in this condition all his life, who's probably been on a hospital bed, let's say it that way, in this day and time, who's been on his sick bed all these years and did not know that he didn't have to wait to be delivered for the troubling of the water. He didn't have to take that medication. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not against medications. I'm not against remedies for sickness and disease. I'm saying that these are not the cure-all. The cure-all is Jesus who died on the cross by his stripes, and with his stripes we are and we were healed. That's just the bottom line. And I wanted to declare that to you today. I want to make it plain. I keep driving that home to you because some of you are sitting there waiting on God to heal you. You're waiting on God to deliver you when he's already made it plain that he wants you now to receive your healing. Hallelujah. He wants you to receive your deliverance. It's been made available to you. It's been made available to me. He paid a precious and costly price for that. And now it's available to you and me. Receive your healing today. Receive your deliverance, but it's according to your will. It's according to how you feel. It's according to how you think, and it's according to what you do. The Lord saved you and me. You don't have to even be saved to be healed. He said, just will that to be so. And there was many cases in the Bible where the Bible says that people who were not even a part of the body of Christ got healed. One episode that I'll share later on in the broadcast is the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter, who she was considered an outcast of Israel, in the Bible says that Jesus even called her, he says, not even meat for me to give the children's bread to dogs. He called her a dog. But yet, she said, does not the dog receive the crumbs from the master's table? And he said, I have not seen such faith even in Israel. Now, this woman was not considered to be saved, but she received healing because she received healing on the basis and the premise that she believed God outside of even being called a castaway. It was by her faith that she was healed. By her faith she was delivered. And that's what it's going to be for you and me today. But it was because she received understanding, knowing that it's by faith and our will that our healing comes. It's not waiting on God to say he's going to come down and step down and do something for us. He promised me, he heals me, he promised me to live. No, he's already done that. He did promise, he made the promise, and he made the promise good. He already has completed the promise. He made a declaration that you were healed and you are healed. Hallelujah. Receive it today. So Jesus confronts the guy and says, wilt thou be made whole? It's according to your will. It's according to my will, whether or not we receive the healing. The impotent man answered with an excuse. Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Jesus said, you know what? I'm not going to go any longer. I know you want to be healed. I know you want to be delivered. So I'm going to speak a word into your life. He says, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. In other words, the man obeyed. He got up and did what Jesus said. Now, it just didn't happen because Jesus said it. It happened because the man received it. He said that we're healed, but a lot of people are still sick. He said that we're delivered, but a lot of people are still not complete. He said that that with his stripes we were healed, and by his stripes we were healed, and yet people are still sick. So he said a lot of things concerning our healing, but it's the receiving of it that makes us whole. And this man, he said, take up, rise, take up that bed and walk. The scripture declares to us that he, the man, the impotent guy, the one with the infirmity, the one that's been sick for 38 years, has now received his healing because he believes what Jesus has said, and he receives that. And he steps out by faith. No, did he feel any different? Of course not. Did he, at first when he was talking to Jesus, was he feeling any different? No, he was still having an infirmity. Was he still sick? No, he did not. He was not well. But the Bible says immediately when he received it, he was whole. Now, sometimes when we immediately receive, as soon as we receive it, healing takes place. Now, sometimes people say, well, you know, I've got to feel like I'm healed. No, that's not true. Feeling has nothing to do with your healing. Healing is because you have been declared whole by the word of God. I don't feel saved all the time, but I am because the Bible tells me that I am. How do I feel like I'm healed? Because the Bible says that I'm healed. Well, how do I know that the Bible is true? Because it is already declared that there have been many healings. Not that I just base it on the fact that other people are healed. I base it on the word that Jesus said. He said that, and the things that he did by his stripes and with his stripes. By his stripes, we were healed. And with his stripes, we are healed. So therefore, if Jesus said it, that's good enough for me. I don't have to have anybody else's opinion about it. As a matter of fact, I've got many other testimonies in this Bible that tells me that people believe when Jesus told those things to them and they receive miracles and they receive their deliverance. It's all predicated on Christ and you and me in Christ today. It's predicated on how we feel about what the Word of God said. That's why Isaiah said, who doesn't believe our report and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Because our report is that we are healed today. That's the report that is for the believer. It's a report for anybody who will receive it. That we are, and we are healed. We are delivered. That's no doubt about it. And this man was struggling with excuses. He was struggling with infirmity. Yes, he had been there for those many years. And I was just probably would think almost that he had given up on life in terms of being delivered. But I want to tell you, I don't care how far over you are in sickness and disease, if you're still living today, I want to tell you that you can be made whole. You can be delivered. You can be removed from that thing. That thing can be removed from you. Hallelujah. You can be delivered. You have been delivered. You have been made whole. You have been made free by the Spirit and the Word of God, who has made a declaration that healing is now. It's for you. Has been done already and has already been paid for on a rugged cross of wood by the man Messiah, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for you and me. And as I minister to you today, I'm telling you words of life that you are healed. And if you will receive that, you can take up your bed as this man did and walk. And that means literally that he got up out of his sick bed. That's what it really means. And he became whole. He received it. And for 38 years, he had been in that way for all those years and all that time. And after his reception, immediately, the Bible says, he was made complete. He was made whole. That means that he was without a shadow of a doubt. Made has a twofold meaning. He was creatively done, made whole by what he did, and he was forced by the Word of God to receive it. He forced himself by the Word of God to receive it, and therefore he stepped out by faith. And because he did, he was made creatively, completely whole. How about that? Is that good gospel news today for you? Is that good gospel news for me today? Of course, by his stripes, with his stripes, we are and we're healed. Amen. Now, we're coming into the last few minutes of the broadcast, and I want to say this today. This fellow, was very, very, very sick. And Jesus, our Messiah, had to deal with him in every area of his life. Now, let's envision him today. He's at the place called at the gate. He's sitting there. And let's kind of give you a plain picture. He's in the hospital. Let's call the gate the pool of Bethesda the hospital. And he's in the hospital, and he's sitting there. And he's waiting on this miracle drug. He's waiting on this miracle cure. And it looks like every time he's trying to get this miracle cure, somebody else's situation or either place is more important than his to receive it because of the severity of their problem. And now he's sitting there saying, I've been waiting on this cure for I don't know how long, and every time I get to the place, I can get a cure, it happens to somebody else, or somebody else gets, because they have a situation seemingly more important to me, and they get there first. We've got people today that are waiting on organs in their body, kidneys, heart, either any kind of replacement valve. And thank God for modern technology today, we can have things replaced inside of us and live on. And now, can you picture it in that light, that there's somebody that's possibly waiting on a body part, an organ that has been put on hold, and they're waiting for that to be implanted inside their body so they can live on. And it seems like every time that they would have the perfect kidney or the perfect organ for their body, whatever that organ may be that's not working properly, that somebody else would either get that organ or either it just was not available at that particular time. Seemingly, that is the problem with this guy with the infirmity. He's waiting to be cured because he can't get into the water. The angel is there to trouble it, but he can't seem to get in there first because the other people are there also. And they are thrown, in other words, they are gathered around that as soon as they see the water being troubled, they will get in. And here this guy is with this mindset that I'm not going to ever get anything because of my condition and because of the conditions around me. And I can hear some of you saying, I can't afford an organ. I can't afford a transplant. I can't afford to get, hallelujah, I can't afford to get this and I can't afford to get that. And so I just seemingly have no hope. And that was a possible scenario with this guy here. There was seemingly no hope. And he was in the hospital, but he couldn't get delivered. Well, watch this. And I'm going to back over this because I feel this is a thing with somebody today. I'm laboring. I don't know who you are. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know how this. I know that this is probably impacting you because the Lord is making me rehearse this to your hearing. But I want to say this to you. It does not matter how long you've been in that condition. It does not matter whether or not you can get that organ or not. It does not matter whether or not you have been pushed to this limit or this area where it seems that the miracle drug or the miracle organ has not come your way. I want to tell you today that the Word of God has already declared that the miracle has already taken place, and it happened in the body of Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago on a rugged cross of wood, the Bible says in him he was beaten and bruised. And he was bruised by our transgressions. He was beaten and stricken for our transgression, bruised by iniquity and the chastisement of our peace upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. In other words, he's already suffered for you. He's already done the miracle working power for you and me, and we don't have to go any further with this. And friend, I want you to receive this today. This is your healing. This is your deliverance. This is your healing. This is your deliverance today. And I want to say that it is yours. All you got to do is take it. And so Jesus the water's being troubled. And anybody who gets into this particular hospital or certain area, we call a safe haven, for this disease, it could be cancer. It could be lupus. It could be leukemia. It could be anything. It could be paralysis. It could be you're disabled and that you've had this impotent disease all your life. You've been suffering from polio. You've been suffering from tuberculosis, anything that you could be suffering from. And I know they have these cures today for that. But Jesus is telling this guy, look, I am your solution. I am your cure-all. If you can receive what I've done for you, or what I'm going to do, you are already whole. You're already healed. It's according to your will. It's according to your faith. Faith healers, faith believers. There are supernatural powers in some instances, and then there's supernatural healing and help in the areas of us believing and us receiving. It's not so necessary by the laying on of hands, even though that is important and that's a part of it. It's not about that either. It's about you receiving. It's about me receiving and knowing that the scripture has declared that it's done. You know, I could come and give you $1 million, but if you don't receive it, it's not going to do you any good. And that's where Jesus has come. He's come to give us something that we cannot pay for. He's come to give us something that's more precious than any dime that we, or any money value, with no monetary value, that it exceeds that. And so he's telling you and me today to receive it. And if we can receive it, then we will have what we desire of him. Is Bible healing prevalent today? Yes, of course it is. I believe that with all my heart. Does Jesus feel what I feel? I do sincerely believe. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4, this is what it says. And I won't read this passage of scripture to you because I believe that the same Jesus that I'm talking about with you today is the same Jesus that's made you whole and made me whole. And because of that, let's talk about what he did in the book of Hebrews. It says, for in verse 14 of chapter 4, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. What's that profession? For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So in this next minute and 30 seconds, I want to tell you today that Jesus felt every pain that you feel. He went through everything that you would go through. He's experienced everything that you and I will ever experience. And therefore, he's made sure that in every area of our lives, he's been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And because of that, you and I have been made whole. Remember, you are delivered today. In this last minute of time, let me pray the prayer of faith for you. Father, I believe today, I bind and gag every devil that has come against all your believers and even those who don't. And I command them to be healed. I command them to be whole. I command them to be delivered in the name of Jesus. And there it is, friend. You are free today. You're healed. In Jesus' name, receive it and know that it's yours. Amen.